So we're really starting in 2011 and saying over the next 5 years, we as the federal government have a goal of hiring 100,000 people with disabilities. And what we've seen is incredible success. We've made a commitment to hiring people with disabilities, and the disability community is delivering. We have more people with disabilities in federal service now than at any point in the past 34 years. That's by percentage and by real number. We hired a higher percentage of people with disabilities into the federal government than at any point in history. And that's, again, by percentage and by real number. No matter how you look at this data, we're doing amazing stuff. And again, I think the reason that this happens is because we as people with disabilities have incredible things to offer any workforce. And when you commit to hiring us, we're going to give you what you need. And so we are on track to meet the president's executive order and all the goals therein.
So when is that actual deadline then? It sounds like it's not until 2016.
Yes. So we're going to be counting 5 years from FY11 is essentially what it comes down to. So yeah, they've still got some more time, and we really want to push and encourage them to continue moving forward. So it's not over yet. We still want to make it happen.
The past few years have been also very hard for hiring in general because of budget cuts and so forth. So what are some of the strategies that you've seen that agencies have been able to use to stay on track, even though they might not be able to hire as many people as they would like?
Yeah, and what we've seen agencies really step up to the plate and do is say, okay, we've got specific goals that we need to meet. And that may change the percentage of how many folks we bring in. And so the first thing that's really valuable is saying, what is your goal? What is your target? And who's being held accountable for those targets? And having a plan for implementing those. And then you've got to do outreach, recruitment, ensuring that you're reaching out to the disability community and welcoming them into federal service. And then we've got to make sure that our reasonable accommodation policies and procedures are strong. And then we've got to make sure that we retain folks. If we bring folks in and they don't stay with us, then we're really not moving in the right direction. So there are a lot of retention strategies that we focus on that work for everybody, not just for people with disabilities. For example, a lot of folks do exit interviews, but how many folks do stay interviews? This is the concept where I come to you and say, you're an amazing employee. How can we get you to stay at Federal News Radio? And those kinds of things make a difference. And so a lot of practices go into that all over the place.
One of the things that you presented at this EEOC Excel conference was why people leave the federal government. And there were some differences between people with disabilities and people without disabilities. Can you go over that?
Absolutely. So what we know is that typical attrition calculations for minority populations don't work on the disability community because we're one of the few communities that folks join over time. And so the older you get, the more likely you are to acquire a disability. It's just a natural part of the human experience, right? The more hair I lose, the more my knees hurt. And so we want to ensure that we're looking closely at that data. And so when we parse out and break down the data, what we see is that the major reason that people with disabilities leave federal service is because they're retiring. And that's at a few percentage points higher than people without disabilities. And for me, what that tells me is not only do folks with disabilities come in and stay with federal agencies, but that they're a good investment. The second biggest reason that people with disabilities leave federal service is because of resignation. And that's at a few percentage points lower than people without disabilities. So we as people with disabilities actually resign at lower rates than people without disabilities, which again shows me we're a good investment. Now, one of the areas where the federal government has to improve is ensuring that folks with disabilities who are removed because of conduct and performance or performance are removed we can close that gap between people with disabilities and people without disabilities, because as we look at it right now, what we see is that people with disabilities are removed at higher rates than people without disabilities.
Do you think that's just a matter of education?
No, I think it's a matter of a lot of things. Part of it is education. Part of it's making sure that we have good matches for the jobs from the very beginning. Part of it's making sure that we've got reasonable accommodations in place. part of it also comes back to those of us with disabilities and making sure that we're educated and ready to enter the workforce and continue with what we're doing. But with all of that being said, the primary thing that I think we need to focus on is that people with disabilities are a great investment, and any business who invests in us is going to get a great employee. We resign at lower rates. We stay with you until we retire. And there are some issues around removal, but those are things that we as a business can fix, and that people with disabilities are a good investment.